Now, I'm going to come back with a few more stories, but we're going to hit some news items. And the time is 6:27 here on January 10th, 2006. Now, just recently, December 29th, marked the 116th anniversary of the Wounded Knee Massacre. There was a grievous wrong committed back in 1890, but there's even more grievous wrongs being committed today. By honoring the soldiers that committed this cruel and unjustifiable massacre, in the words of their own commanding officer, General Nelson A. Miles, help mend the sacred hoop that was broken at Canpi Opi, a.k.a. Wounded Knee. There are 18 medals of dishonor awarded to the members of the 7th Cavalry, Custer's old outfit, if people, for the history buffs out there, for this massacre of 350 innocent men, women, and children at the Canpi Opi in 1890. The Medal of Honor is the highest award of for the military for uncommon valor and bravery, the battle with an armed enemy, not for a massacre of unarmed people who had surrendered and were under a white flag of truce. There can be no healing until these medals are recalled. As long as they are still being honored by the government, there's shame and disgrace of it for all of us, because that is for all of us to bear. There is a campaign underway to have these medals rescinded, an act that is more than an apology, but a real recognition of Western history. Visit the website, it's waptura.com, for more information. They are asking for people to contact the President of the U.S., as well as the U.S. Senator Tom Daschle, who has submitted several bills to Congress along these lines. Again, that website is waptura.com. That's waptura.com. Now, we're going to just going to take a short musical break because I've been talking a lot. And we're going to come back with some more, a few more news items and some more stories about Kina, Kina Karonya Wata, a great native, great Mohawk artist who died 11 years ago tomorrow. You're going to be, this is Charles Nakai. That's Carlos Nakai Quartet, actually. I'm really impressed with his work. R. Carlos Nakai. That's N-A-K-I-A-I. It's a quartet. It's called The People of Peace. And what we were just listening to is Kiva Smoke. It's a very beautiful piece of music. The man has great talent. I have to respect great talent. This man, really, we've played a lot of his music on NATO Solidarity News before, and right now what we're going to do is we're going to come on by with another piece of great music. Well, not music, actually news. This actually grabbed me. This shows progressiveness. This shows a great importance in court proceedings. The top court of the Cherokee Nation has declined to strike down a lesbian marriage in what it is seen as a pioneering case in Native and queer rights. Kathy Reynolds, 29, and Dom McGinley, 34, married in 2004 in Oklahoma. Gay rights advocates say their pair is the first registered same-sex marriages in an indigenous nation within the colonial U.S. borders. Because community law at the time allowed same-sex marriages, a tribal clerk gave them the wedding certificate, but members of the tribal council sued, saying the marriage would damage the reputation of the Cherokees and the laws that later changed. Then, in a December 22nd decision, the Judicial Appeals Tribunal of the Cherokee Nation, the tribe's highest court, rejected the request for an injunction against the marriage. The court held that the council members, who are a legislative branch of the Cherokee Nation, had no standing to seek a court order invalidating the couple's marriage because the council's members could not show that they were individually harmed or negatively affected by the marriage in any way. According to an affidavit submitted by the court of the by Cherokee professor Brian Gilley, Ph.D., assistant professor of anthropology at the University of Vermont, there is no overwhelming evidence for the historic and cultural presence of multiple gender roles and same-sex relations amongst most, if not all, Native North Americans, including the Cherokee, and that they historically shared the institution of marriage. Professor Gilley's affidavit described the historical gender diversity among the Cherokee people, as well as evidence of marriage between Cherokee same-sex couples. Kathy Reynolds argued that since the tribe has become so westernized and adopted Christian religions and European ways, they strayed away from the traditional Cherokee values of indifference. Reynolds, a graduate student, said she had lived together with McKinley, who works as in the retail industry, for 4 years before they opted to wed. Both women said their friends and family welcomed their decision, although the tribal officials disapproved. The lawyer for the tribal council, Todd Hembry, said the tribe would no longer fight the marriage. As far as the tribal council is concerned, that is the end of the legal proceeding. He said it was also possible that the U.S. government would have to recognize the marriage because of the submed sovereignty status of indigenous nations, which could, in theory, at least make them eligible for U.S. federal tax benefits denied to date to gay couples. Lena Ayoub, an attorney who represented Reynolds and McKinley, said the federal government has not recognized any same-sex state marriages to date and called the federal obligation to recognize a sovereign tribal marriage a very complicated area of the law. Lena Ayoub is a volunteer lawyer for the couple on behalf of the Nation Center for Lesbian Rights. Personally, I'd like to congratulate Ms. Reynolds and Ms. McKinley on their marriage. Congratulations to you. Hey, we need more couples like you out there in the world. Another piece of news from the Associated Press, Al Jazeera and Narco News. Commandant Ramona, a diminutive social Maya woman from the first Zapatista rebel to appear publicly in Mexico City after a brief but bloody uprising in 1994, died on the way to hospital in the southern state of Chiapas. Hundreds of Zapatistas converged on the poor mountain village of Aventic, January 7th for the funeral of Commandant Ramona, one of the most important women's rights advocates in the revolutionary Zapatista movement. Ramona died after a decade-long struggle with kidney disease. Choking back tears, the spokesperson, Subcommandant Marcos, announced her death in the emotional statement at a stop in Chiapas during his six-month nationwide tour to build a new leftist movement, The Other Campaign. Marcos announced that the group was suspending its journey for 2 days in order to honor Ramona. Ramona was the first member of the Clandestine Indigenous Revolution Committee, CGRI, the leadership body of the Zapatista Army of the National Liberation, EZLN, to have died since the end of their uprising 12 years ago. Few details are known about her life, and other than that, she was a social who joined the EZLN sometime before its January 1994 armed uprising and rose to prominence in its ranks. A year before that, Commandant Ramona, together with Major Ana Maria, extensively consulted indigenous Zapatista communities, back then still underground and not public, about the exploitation of women, and subsequently penned the Revolutionary Laws of Women. On March 8th of that year, the revolutionary laws were passed. Her work will live on, and a fighting spirit like Commandant Ramona will burn forever in our hearts. Rest in peace. And one last piece. This is from CBC News. An Aboriginal chief in the northwestern Manitoba warns Canada's native people could rise up in violence in the next decades if they don't get more of what they need. Pascal Beatty, chief of the Matthias Colom First Nation in Pukasawagan, says if positive changes do not happen for Native people after the federal election, Canadians could see First Nations people rise up in terrorism. I'm talking about violence. It's going to happen here in Canada, he told CBC News. If the Canadian government does not start paying attention to Aboriginal people, we are going to see some kind of violence in the future. While he says no plans for such violence are in the works, he says that it's only natural for people to retaliate when they feel they're being pushed over the edge of a cliff. When the society you suppress, when you start seeing people taking issues, he said, you will be seeing terrorism in the future. It's not going to be long before the Aboriginal people of Canada will say that is enough. Beatty hopes whichever party forms the next federal government will be more sympathetic to Native issues. To begin with, he says it's time to eliminate the Federal Department of Indian Affairs and give funding directly to Native communities. First Nations under Canadian domination have been robbed of untold billions of dollars from resources from the land and left to deal with the consequences that the theft, like destroyed land, poisoned water, and financial decapitation. Now, I have to say, I don't agree with that. You know, it's like, I do believe that there should be protest, there should be the use of voice, but violence never solved anything, people. Our brothers and sisters can't use violence to solve their problems. I understand that we're up to our necks in crap on the reserves, but we can't use violence to solve our problems. We must use our voices. We must use our minds. It was Chief Dan George that said that we must use the tools of the white man, and so we may speak in the laws in the halls of law and government. He said, "Use the tools." That means education. That means getting jobs. That means using alcohol treatment centers and drug treatment centers, getting yourselves cleaned up, getting yourselves work, using your voice, whether it be voice for writing, voice for radio, voice for TV, voice for art, sculpture. That's how we protest, because that's how our culture survives. It's an oral history, not a written one. We use our oral history to teach our young. We cannot use violence to solve our problems in this situation. I respect Chief Beatty's for his words. I understand where he's coming from. He's probably seen it. He's probably seen it most of his life. But violence is never the answer. Understanding, communication is the answer to what we deal with. And